you and we thank you so much for Jesus who came to this earth, God. Though, Lord, this earth was full of sin and this earth was full of hardship, that you came to this earth, God, to save us. And, Lord, we are grateful for that. Lord, today may you just be with us as we study your word, as we preach and proclaim it. And, God, we pray, Father, especially for those that are in Connecticut right now. We pray that you will minister to them in a very special way. And, God, that they may hear the voice of Jesus today. God, we love you. And we thank you that you are always in control, that you never let go. And, Lord, that your name is blessed in the good times and the hard times. And, Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you chose to come to this earth to save those who would believe. Father, we love you. And all of God's people prayed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, Life Community. And as we have worshiped the Lord today through song, we now turn to the Word of God to study God's Word. And we are doing a series that we've begun called Rediscovering Christmas. And we are taking the Christmas story and rediscovering it, because we've often have been told the story, we've seen the story, we probably have little nativity scenes in our houses, but that we really focused on the story. Because when you begin to study the Christmas story, and you look at the Christmas story, you quickly learn that, man, it is an awesome story with rich levels that we often don't explore. Now, so far, we've talked about the Christmas story, we've talked about Mary, how Mary, God had grace on Mary, and how the Lord used Mary, though really she was just a little girl from the town of Nazareth that God chose in a great way to do great things. Then last week we talked about Joseph, and we learned that Joseph had every reason when he heard the news to run away, every reason to leave, but he instead, in choosing devastation, he chose devotion, and he clung to the Lord with a little help from God. He did that, and we learned that Joseph, for through the life of Joseph, that we too are not to focus on the negative, but to know that God is piecing together all things for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for good. We learned that. Well, we also have been learning a little memory verse that we've been working on, and we've been teaching memory verses. And this is our memory verse that we're learning at Christmas time. You got it yet? Everybody got it? You got it? You going to be able to say it without looking? Okay, here we go. All right, let's say it together. All right. They will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us, Matthew 1:23. Remember that this time at Christmas, as you teach that verse to your children and to your family, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Did you know that because of Christmas, God is with us today? Because Jesus Christ came to this earth. He grew up, became a man that was sinless, who died on the cross, who was buried, rose again. And for whoever believes and invites Jesus into their life, God will never leave them. Did y'all know that today? He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will stay in you and cover you with his love and his mercy and his grace. Nikki and Daniel did a great job reading our scripture and praying for us, but they read to us another part of the Christmas story today. If you have your Bibles, go back to your Bibles to Luke 2. We're going to focus more on the latter part with the shepherds, but we want to give a little bit of attention to the birth of Jesus. I think that's important, okay? We're told that Mary and Joseph, that they traveled on. They heard the news, and then they went on to Bethlehem. Now, why did they leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem? Well, there was a census going on. And because Joseph was of the house and line of David, that's where all the ancestors of David were to gather at. So they went back to the hometown to be registered in the census. Well, it was at that point that Jesus was born. We know that there was no room in the inn for them. And as a result of that, that when Christ was born, he was laid in a manger. And some translations say a feeding trough. You know, a manger wasn't necessarily a stable. A manger was a feeding trough. And actually, if you go back and you look at the old archaeological things they would dig up, it looked just like a stone box, basically, is what it looked like that the animals would drink out of. And that was the crib of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manger. That was what the manger was. And we're told that he was born there. And then the story shifted. It shifted from what was happening in Bethlehem to the outskirts of Bethlehem. Out in the fields of Bethlehem, there were a group of people called the shepherds. The shepherds. And their job was a simple job, but yet it was a job that was demanding, a job that took all their time. And their job was to keep watch over the flocks. The shepherds were to guard those sheep. And some have said that probably that those sheep was used at the sacrifices in Jerusalem at the Passover. That's kind of interesting to think that here is Jesus, the Passover lamb that would one day die for the sins of the world. And just right outside of Bethlehem were sheep that would be sacrificed on that altar. But Jesus was the ultimate sheep. You can draw a connection with that a little bit. But there were these shepherds guarding those sheep at night. And what happened? They're just minding their business. Everything's going good. I don't know how exciting sheep watching is in the middle of the night. I'm not for sure how thrilling and invigorating that is. But nevertheless, they were watching their sheep at night. And as they were doing so, something happened. The sky, I don't know if it turned a different color. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if the clouds changed. I don't know what happened. But we're told all of a sudden an angel appeared. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around that angel. Which means what? That the presence of God was kind of behind that angel. I don't know what that looks like, except it was probably bright. And it was probably amazing. And here is this angel. And the angel begins to speak. And as the angel is speaking, I love it when angels appear. The first thing angels say is, don't be scared. That's the first thing they always say. Now, I wonder why they say that. Well, if I was out in the middle of the field watching sheep and a big bright light started shining on me and a big dude came up and appeared, I think I might be tempted to be a little nervous as well, you know? So why do angels have to say, don't be afraid? It's because they might be a little scary when they appear. But they say, don't be afraid, for I bring you what? What kind of news was the angel bringing them? Do you remember? What does your Bible say? Great joy, good news. And great joy. We get a word called gospel from this word good news. That's what gospel means, the good news. And he said, I've come bringing you good news. Don't be afraid. Hey, I come bringing you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news and great joy for everybody, for whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news. And great joy. And then we're told that he announces this, and then they begin to bust into song. They get their praise on. And we, you know that song, Gloria in Excelsis Deo? It comes from this passage. It comes from the Latin translation of this, which means glory to God. Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Glory to God and peace on earth and goodwill to men or to people he favors. And then all these angels appeared. They started singing and praising the Lord. And when the angels left, I don't know who the guy was that said it, but you got to appreciate him. He says, well, I reckon we should go to Bethlehem. These angels telling us to go, we should probably head on over there. And they did. They just went on into town. And I just imagine these guys walking through those streets with their shepherd crooks. I don't know. But they're walking through a parade of them. I don't know how many there were. And then they come to the room where Jesus was at, or the cave or the stable or wherever it was they were at. And there they find baby Jesus lying in a feeding trough, that stone feeding trough, lying there. And they see it, and the angels do something, or the shepherds do something. They start telling everybody. They tell everybody. The Bible says they reported what they had seen throughout the town. They reported the message, it says in verse 17, that they were told about the child. And they told Mary and Joseph. And then we see that they go off praising God, sharing the Lord. Everywhere they're going, they are sharing and praising the Lord. And here we see Mary kind of sitting back thinking, what is going on? The Bible says she treasured these things in her heart. Understand, even for Mary, it would be a lifelong journey until she really fully grasped. With Mary, there's one part in the Gospels when Jesus is teaching that Mary comes with her other children, because she went on to have later children. And she comes with the brothers of Jesus to get rid of crazy Jesus, basically. To get rid of crazy Jesus, because he's talking about being God and all this stuff. But for Mary, it really was a journey for her. Now, we know that Mary was a great leader in the early church and that she was there at Pentecost when the Spirit came. So we know she was a believer. But at this point, she's still learning. Hey, anybody else still learning today about Jesus? Anybody else still learning today? The shepherds go off and they praise the Lord, and they're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's interesting that the people to hear first about Jesus were shepherds. Now, why is that interesting to me today? Because God could have chose anybody to tell that to, couldn't he? He could have chose the priest over in Jerusalem that faithfully served in the temple. He could have told them, but he didn't. He could have chose theologians and great scholars who studied the Old Testament and who read through the Old Testament and was looking for the prophecies, but he didn't pick them to tell it to. Instead, he picked good old farmhand boys is what he picked. These guys were not educated. They were not polished. They're probably rough around the edges. You know, actually, shepherds, because of their job, were considered unclean by the law, which meant that, you know, people didn't really go around them. You know, they handled livestock. No one really went around these people. And you know what? If you ever worked around farm people or ever worked at a factory, you know what? Sometimes those boys can be rough, right? Rough. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it or not, but you know, they work with sheep all day, you know, by themselves. They probably rough. And who did the Lord choose to tell about Jesus, the very first people? The shepherds. Now, I think there's something to really pause on and think about that real quick. You know, you don't have to be a scholar or a theologian or primed and polished in your techniques. Did you know if you have Jesus in your heart, you have enough to tell somebody about Jesus today? You have enough to tell somebody about Jesus. See, the shepherds, they got the news, and then they went through all the town telling everybody about Jesus, reported the message, it says, and then they went out praising and celebrating and telling people about Jesus. I want to tell you something. We have a lot in common with the shepherds today. We have a whole lot in common with the shepherds because we too are commanded to tell others about Jesus. Did you know that? Do you know you're commanded to tell others about Jesus? Well, let's just look at it real quick. If you're taking notes, write these down. They won't be on the screen, but just write them down. Matthew 28, 18 and 19 tells us the Great Commission. And Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Jesus said, "Go into all the nations. As you're going, tell people about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus wherever you go." Acts 1:8, Jesus told us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts." Jesus said, "You'll get power when you're getting ready to tell people about Jesus. And you're going to tell them at the hometown and around the town and in your nation and all over the world." And Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him they've not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? How, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of good news." Romans 10, 14 through 15. On our soundboard, I got a joke about this real quick. We put on our soundboard that Bible verse back there, "Faith comes through hearing." And that's a good reminder for our sound team, isn't it? Faith comes through hearing. But absolutely. How are people to believe in Jesus? Well, somebody has to tell them. So let's just do the math real quick. Jesus said, "Go into all the nations, baptizing them." Jesus said, "You'll be my disciple, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria," which means all the earth is what that means. And then how can people hear unless they're told? And how are they told unless somebody's sent? Now, all right, this is scary, but here we go. You ready? Look at a neighbor. 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 And repeat after me. You sent. You sent. You sent. Now, you know what that means? You sent this morning. You sent to tell the good news. God has, if you believe today, you are commanded by Scripture to tell people. You're sent to tell others about Jesus. And as we look at these shepherds, here's what happened. Their job was to be bystanders. Their job was to watch over flock at night. Every now and then, maybe a sheep wander off and they go and get them. But their job was to watch. But all of a sudden, God interferes with their life. Anybody ever been messed up by God before? Your life ever been messed up with God in a good way? God changed your path. He does that, doesn't he? You know, he does that. Their life gets changed, and they move from being bystanders of just watching sheep to what? Broadcasters. They're telling everybody about Jesus. They're walking, praising, singing, they're reporting the message they've heard. They're telling everybody, hey, you've been sent. God's called you to tell people. But sometimes we're scared to tell people, right? That happens. It's scary to tell people. You know, we come up with all kinds of reasons to not tell people about Jesus. Well, they might not like me. They might make fun of me. And can I tell you something? That happens. I wish I could sit here and tell you that every time you open your mouth to tell people about Jesus, they're just going to get saved and they're going to start crying. Oh, Lord, I don't need to invite Jesus in my heart right now. Bring me to church. I'm bringing my whole family with me. And that, maybe that'll happen. Sometimes you tell them, and they laugh at you. Sometimes you tell them at work, and you were sitting with the boys, right? And now they're sitting over here, and you're all by yourself. That happens. Get ready. It happens. But nevertheless, you're still commanded to tell, right? You're commanded to do that. So how did they make the transition from being bystanders to broadcasters when for us it is so easy for us to be the bystanders, right? It's easy for us to come to church and just kind of listen to the music, listen to the preaching, see some people, high-five each other, shake hands, then go home and just be quiet the rest of the week. That's easy. Very, very easy to do that. But that's not what God's called you to do. He has a bigger calling on your life. And that's to broadcast and make famous the name of Jesus. Did you know recently George Barna is a Christian statistician, okay? That means that he surveys and he looks at different stuff. The latest report that I was able to find from just a couple of years ago in 2006, it was the latest one that he had done, said that 55% of evangelical Christians share their faith. That's actually up from the last report that he had done. It's actually up, which is good. But guys, you know what that's telling me? That's still a lot of people that's not telling people about Jesus. If only 55%, it's okay, it's good, right? But it's not great, is it? So you're sent today. God's commanded you to tell others. So, Kenny, okay, I'm going to need some help. How do I go from just a bystander sitting here today to leading other people to Jesus? How do I make that move? How do I make that transition of just sitting here and watching and then moving and actually telling people out in the job place? Well, I'm glad you asked today. Let's look today. Let's learn from the shepherds today if we can. First, we need to see this, that the shepherds experienced God. The shepherds experienced God. The Bible says in Luke 2, 8 through 10, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And the rest of the story went on that they would sing, they would praise, say glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all people, and they would see that happen. But the shepherds were able to make their move from just watching sheep to me, maybe being the first evangelist, I don't know. Because they experienced God. They experienced God. They had an encounter with the Lord that radically changed them. And let me tell you, if you're going to be someone that tells people about Jesus, you have to have an experience with God. Did you know that? You have to have an interaction with God. Well, Kenny, I've never heard the voice of God. Well, good news, I haven't either. I've heard Him speaking in my heart. I've heard Him through the Word, through reading the Bible. I feel the Spirit speaks me through the Bible. But when I'm talking about having an experience from the God, I'm not talking about some voice coming out of heaven or some light shining or some weird experience. That's not what I'm talking about. See, the very first thing that qualifies you to be sent is if you're saved. You know what? If you have believed and trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've had an experience with God. People always are looking for the next high or the next, you know, weird experience that they want. When I think, you know what? If you trust and believe in Jesus, isn't that an experience? Isn't that when you trust in God? An experience when He comes into your life and He saves you of your sins and He gives you peace and hope? Isn't that an experience? When the Lord comes in your life, you don't need bells and whistles going off. You just need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what you need. And you know what? If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've had an experience with God, which takes you from one point to the next to be able to tell others about Jesus. Now listen to this. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ and been saved, can I tell you something? You ain't got nothing to tell nobody. And I know that's bad English, but you ain't got nothing to tell nobody. Why? Because he's not in your life. But if you've trusted Jesus, if there was a moment when you said, God, I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short. I know that I've messed up. And you made a decision, a conscious decision to allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And you confess your sins, turn from your sins, and believe and trust in him, you'll be saved. For me, I was 7 years old when I had my experience with God. I like to just call it my salvation. When I got saved, when I was born again. Have you had that in your life? Can you say there was a time in my life when I asked Jesus into my heart, where I experienced God? If so, you're qualified to tell people about Jesus. If you've been saved, you've been qualified. But second, understand this about the shepherds. The shepherds reported their experience. Reported. They retold their experience. They retold. They reported their experience. Now, I want you to know as we read the passage, it says in verse 15, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about the child. So they see the baby and they tell Mary and Joseph. They open their mouth and they tell Mary and Joseph what the angels had told them after seeing the Bible, after seeing the baby there in the feeding trough, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. So they had an interaction with God. And then they were obedient. They went to Bethlehem and then they told of their interaction with God. And notice how it said after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. Little clue right there. There's probably more people at the birth scene of Jesus than just Mary and Joseph. Now, don't let that blow your theology, okay? Now, don't go home and start adding Barbie dolls or G.I. Joes to your nativity scenes, okay? Don't do that. But more than likely, there was other people in the room. I don't know what that looked like. But can you just imagine this? Imagine those people in that room. This lady's having a baby. And then in addition to that, these shepherds burst in and say, dude, we were out in the field. Angels have been talking to us. This is God. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's what they did. They were amazed. But we see that the shepherds simply retold what they experienced. When you begin to share your faith, here's what people say. Kenny, I don't know enough to tell someone about Jesus. I'm not polished. I'm not trained to tell people about Jesus. What do I say? What Bible verses do I take them to? And you know what? The more you grow in your faith, the more you'll know how to take them in Scripture to certain places. But can I tell you something? And I hope this just frees up a lot of you all that are scared to tell people about Jesus. Telling someone about Jesus is as simple as just telling them what he's done for you. Now, did you catch that? You don't have to have all the Bible verses. Those are great to use. Those are good to use. And you should strive for that. But if you're getting hung up on just telling people about Jesus because you don't know enough, it's like the blind man. They ask him, who is this guy that healed you? He said, I don't know. What I know is this, I was blind, but now I see. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. That's telling people about Jesus. And some people say, well, Kenny, I hear these testimonies of people that were drug dealers and murderers and this and that. And they get up and they just tell about all this that happened. And I have a little bitty testimony. I have a little bitty story. And ain't nothing compared to these people that can, you know, they were members of gangs and gave their life to Jesus. What can my story do? But can I tell you something really neat? Jesus shed the same amount of blood for the drug dealers and the gangsters and the murderers as much as he did for you when you believed. The same amount. It took the same amount of Jesus on the cross to save you as it did anybody else. It's just through Jesus. Tell them what you know. Tell them that you've met Jesus. The third thing is this. The shepherds expressed their experience. Now, I like this part. The Bible says in Luke 2:20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they've been told. They leave this place excited. You know, when it says that they returned, glorifying and praising God, you know, I bet they were getting with it. Don't you think so? I bet they were excited. I bet they had a little Christmas giddy up in them. You think so? They were excited. And they were expressing their praise to God. Now, I want you to notice something else. They returned. Where'd they go back to? The fields. But they went back praising God, glorifying God, just like they were. They were expressing what God had done in their life. Now, I want you to notice something. We think, well, if I'm going to tell people about Jesus, that means I got to get on an airplane, go to some deep, dark jungle in Africa, you know, work amongst people that have never heard the name of Jesus, and then I'll be an evangelist. I'll be someone who will tell people about it. I'll be a missionary then. Well, people do that. You know, we're taking up a Christmas offering to help foreign missions. We do that. But that doesn't mean that only missionaries go overseas. Actually, you could be a missionary right where you work at. Did you know that? Real quick, who works with somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Really? 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 See, you're a missionary. They went back to their fields glorifying, praising God. You can go back to your workplace expressing what God has done. And sometimes, you know, hear me on this. You always have to use words. There was a saying a few years ago that said, you know, use words when only necessary when sharing the gospel. And I don't think that's true. I think you have to use the words. You know, faith comes through hearing, remember? You got to use words in telling people about Jesus. You have to speak it, okay? But now let me say this. It can't be just words. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Did you catch that? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So when we start telling people about Jesus, tell them what he did for your life, but then express that. If he saved you, he gave you forgiveness, he gave you hope, begin to show that. Love people, help people, minister to people. Hey, also tell them, right? Speak it as well. But man, back that up with just the amazing love of Jesus Christ. See, a joyful experience, a joyful, amazing Christmas experience of people being changed by Jesus. You know, today we lit the Advent candle. Today was the candle of joy. And these shepherds had joy in their life. You know, when I was writing my sermon this week, and I was working on it, I told the team that helped set up this morning, I told them this, but normally I have my sermon done around Thursday, or at least almost done, my outline's done at least, and I came to, and I normally take Fridays off, I spend it with my family, and I came Thursday, and I just could not get my conclusion done. You know, that's this part, by the way, that's the conclusion, okay? I just could not, it just did not come together. It just didn't happen. And I don't know why. I didn't really think much about it. Sometimes I freak out when that happens and I panic. Oh, man, what am I going to say, you know? But it didn't really bother me on Thursday when I got done. And I spent the day with my family on Friday. And then I quickly learned through Friday what my conclusion was supposed to be. You know, guys, we got some horrible news in our nation this weekend. It was horrible. And you think, this is the Christmas season. Joy and peace on earth, right? We've already lit the candle of hope and peace and joy. And then we hear about such a national tragedy that breaks all of our hearts, doesn't it? Man, just horrible what we heard on Friday. How do you explain that? I mean, was God just... How do you explain that? Well, first, I think you really make a mistake when you try to explain it. I think when we shoot off answers, I think we really get ourselves in trouble, really honestly. I think you just got to understand that God has it under control. And you got to understand that He allows some things to happen which we don't understand why. Did He cause it? No. No. God did not cause that. You know, God hates sin. Did you know that? He hates sin. God didn't cause that thing to happen. But here's what we know. We are reminded that this world that we live in is a dark place. It's a dark place. You know, in the song that Taryn sung before I preached, it was talking about, I don't know if you paid much attention to the lyrics or not, but it was on purpose that we chose that. That while Jesus came, the earth on that Christmas day was full of uncertainty. It was full of hardship. And here is the hope of the world laying in a manger. What I'm reminded of right now is that the hope of the world is still Jesus Christ. It's still Jesus. We may forget that sometimes, but Christ has come to save us from sin. He's come to save us from darkness, because that's what we do on our own. On our own, we go dark. On our own, we get evil. That's what we do. We get evil on our own. And Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for the sins of this world, and rose again so that He could bring some hope and some peace and some joy and some love to all those who would believe. What I'm reminded of from Friday is this, is that we still need to tell people about Jesus. People still need to hear about Jesus. You know what? It ain't the pastor's job, because he's supposed to tell people about Jesus on his own too. It's the shepherd's job. Those people that are working with the people that are questioning God and that are mad at God because of what happened on Friday. And you got to tell them that Christ came to save us from that mess. And in His time, in His way, He's putting it back together, isn't He, church? He's piecing it back together, though that's hard for us to understand. He's piecing it back together. We have to have hope and joy, because Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And guys, who's going to tell them? It's got to be you. It's got to be you. My challenge for you today is this. Who do you work with? Who are you related to? Who are you friends with that don't know Jesus? Friday reminds us of how dark the world is. And we must tell others about Jesus. We must. It's not an option. I mean, guys, isn't it clear it's not an option? And it's your job to tell others about Jesus Christ. This Christmas, will you tell somebody? Will you invite them to church with you? Will you bring them to church with you? Will you bring them to church with you on Sunday? Will you tell them just what He did in your life? Will you love on people? Because God is calling us not just to be setters out here, bystanders, but to be broadcasters, that in Jesus we find hope, peace, joy, and love. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You, and we thank You so very much, Jesus, for speak into our lives today. And God, we pray again for the folks in Connecticut. God, we don't even imagine, we can't even imagine what they're dealing with. But God, we know that their hope today is Jesus Christ. But Father, there are people here that are hurting. People that we work with, that we're friends with, that need to hear about Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts this good news and help us tell others about Jesus. God, I pray you will burden us today with a specific person that we need to tell about Jesus, we need to bring to church, and we'll get serious about telling other people and broadcasting the name of Jesus. We love you. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. This is our time of response. And I'm going to be right here in the front. If you'd like to have prayer, or maybe today God's calling you to be saved, and you want to make that decision and respond. My buddy Mark's in the back. If you want to pray with him over there, there's others that are here that will pray with you. But as we sing, we encourage you to come. And we encourage you to give your heart to Jesus. I encourage you to come and just pray for somebody that doesn't know Jesus.